You're listening to Tech Trend Investments with Elizabeth Powell and Joseph Grassa, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, hello. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Tech Trend Investments. This is Elizabeth Powell.
And this is Joseph Grassa. Welcome, everybody.
Okay, what's the fruit of the day today? The fruit of the day today is papaya. Wait, no. I got a good fruit. This is a good fruit. Prickly pear. So if y'all have never tried prickly pear, it's really great in margaritas. So we're gonna trend a fruit of the day.
What's the fruit? Joseph, what's the fruit?
We're gonna trend a fruit of the day. It's prickly pear.
Oh, okay.
Okay, I'll be right back. You talk to them about your fruit of the day.
Okay, so...
And then we'll be right back.
I've actually never tried a prickly pear. I've been around them, and I've seen them before, but I've heard they're sweet, and if they taste anything like pears, then they've got to be super good. I don't like the bitterness of them, but yes, it is another beautiful Tuesday, another amazing, amazing, amazing Tuesday with heat waves going on everywhere, a lot of beautiful weather for people to go out and explore. Elizabeth, hello?
Hello. Did you hear about my fruit of the day, prickly pear?
I did.
So it's basically, it's a cactus. It's a little bit sweet, a little bit tart, and it's really good in margaritas.
I've heard about it, but I haven't tried it, is what I was saying. I've heard about it. I know it's sweet. But if it's anything like a pear
itself,
it has
itself, like a little bit of sourish really tart, yeah, to it. So I do have my matcha today. I've had two matchas in like 4 months now.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
I'm lagging. There's the problems when you travel. The problems when you travel, there's not prevalent a lot of matcha everywhere except for when it's trending.
We have to get it trending globally now so that everywhere you go, there's matcha.
Well, I mean, it's pretty prevalent, but not as prevalent as it is in, you know, California and stuff. But
right. But you got yours today. You got it today.
I'm very excited. Here we go. We have like the most exciting show today. So y'all know we're going to talk about a lot of different things, what the markets are doing. Like all the markets all around are responding really well. We're going to talk about that too. What's been influencing it? We'll talk about it probably at the 30. We're going to talk about the stock market, bonds, interest rates, the Fed decision, CPI, also, of course, crypto.
Right.
We did predict that ETH was going to do its breakout, if you all remembered, and it hit its targets. It hit the 1900, 1905, 1955, and broke above that. I think, what did we hit on it so far? 1986 has been our high?
I think so. I can double check that really quick.
Okay, yeah, if you can do that, that'd be great.
Yep.
We'll talk about it at the 30.
1986. You got it on the dot.
1986. See, that's off my memory, too. Yeah. So we're going to talk about it on the 30, and we're going to talk about why it's doing what it's doing and our target dates. Now, remember, the target dates are August 5th and August 8th. So we hit targets already. We already broke targets already, and we haven't even hit the target date. So we're going to talk about that at the 30, also about the market. And explain what everything means and why it does what it does and why it means what it means, so you'll understand. So, but we have some exciting things going on.
Yes, yes.
Lots of fun things going on. Of course, it's summertime. Most everybody's traveling right now. I'm still traveling. I did get to go back to California, so I was really excited about having Mexican food. It's like the simple little pleasures I miss, like matcha and Mexican food.
It's the good stuff. Like, it feels like home.
I was in SoCal. Like SoCal has Southern California, for y'all who don't know, internationally. It has like the best Mexican food in the world, of course. Now I'm going to be hungry again. I didn't eat except for my matcha. So talking about food, but it's like the little things. Like if you listen through our show, if you guys appreciate like these little tiny things that make your life like wonderful, that's like Mexican food is one of those little things, and seeing blue water and palm trees. So I'm looking out my window right now, seeing blue water and palm trees also. It where I'm at is very hot though. I'm not gonna say where I'm at this time, but it's very hot. And I don't know, have we talked about where the emoji was on our last show? The
no,
emoji,
we didn't.
I had a okay, so there was a big, if y'all didn't catch it, like some people got it, not every, I don't know if we said where I was on my last, on the last show.
We didn't actually.
Big, big, giant smiley face emoji outside my window on the last episode was Vegas. So the sphere, the sphere has big, giant emojis on the sphere and it has graphics that go across. It's like amazing. And I love looking out and being able to see the sphere. And then you can see, like, sometimes it has blue water and palm trees on the sphere. It has dragons flying over on the sphere sometimes, too.
Ooh.
Hint, hint. but you can see a lot of, like, when F1 was going on, the sphere is, like, right in the center of one of the parts of the track. So, like, you can see the sphere and the race and, you know, F1 and, like, go sit in the grandstands and, like, watch the sphere and the cars racing by, hearing the cars racing by. So the sphere is like iconic now. It's like one of the, you know, most iconic places, plus all the other casinos that are
right.
Well known over there. But that's what the big giant emoji was, Vegas. So, and Vegas has been hot. It's summertime right now. So it's like 109, 110 out there, which is,
oh my gosh,
hot.
That's
yeah,
very
so
hot.
Crazy. Yeah, July, August gets really hot. So I'm not in Vegas right now. That was the last show. But so we have some exciting say there's us talking about some exciting stuff going on. And ooh, the biggest thing I want to like bring up is, I've been having conversations with different people as I travel. Right.
Right.
And my favorite thing in the whole entire world is listening to stories. Like I love, love, love people telling me stories because you get an insight into somebody's life. You get an insight onto like what inspires them, what makes them passionate, what motivates them. Like stories are kind of like a long lost art, but it's also good. I tell a lot of stories because it's also a great way to teach.
Yep.
If you're trying to get across a point and you want somebody to learn something, if I spit out a bunch of numbers all the time and I just said, here's the target, it's like, you know, 5 million, 10 million, 20 million, and I just named numbers, the type of brain that's analytical and logical will respond greatly to that, but everybody else will just draw a blank and then get bored and move on.
Right.
But if you tell a story and you tell an analogy or you create something that makes them remember it and then they have like a hook and an emotion attached to it, they'll remember the story and then understand things better. And so when we talk on the show, yes, it's fun. And you may think I'm, you know, like having adventures, of course. But the adventures also can tell a story so you can learn something. When we talked about Jeeps, it wasn't because we were trying to necessarily trend a Jeep. We were trying to give an analogy so you could understand how your brain works and how your brain functions. And remember things. So the story was, you know, if you close your eyes right now, but first off, like look around the room everywhere that you can see and look for the color red and you like notice what's red. So you say like, okay, I have a shirt over there in the closet that's red and I have a pen on the table that's red and I have, you know, there's pinstripes in the carpet or something that's red, or there's an umbrella outside that's red. So like you think of that and then you close your eyes and you remember all the colors of red. And then now while your eyes are still closed, try and remember the color blue. What in the room is blue? So you keep all your eyes closed and your brain is focused on the red. So it's going to remember the red, but it didn't pick up the blue because you weren't actively seeking that out. Now you open your eyes, don't do it if you're driving, and you look around and now you see blue everywhere because now your brain is looking for blue. And so these are stories that we tell. So blue, there's chairs that are blue, there's lawn chairs out on the beach that are blue. There's a jet ski that's blue. So I'm seeing blue everywhere now. And the story we told was look for Jeeps. So when you're driving down the freeway and you're looking for cars, in your subconscious now, you're aware of all the Jeeps that are on the road because you're actively looking for it in your brain without knowing that you are, which is basically your subconscious. And so we talked about blue Jeeps. And doing so, like I forgot about the episode, and everywhere I looked, I was seeing Jeeps without being consciously aware that we had talked about it on an episode. And probably all of you out there were noticing Jeeps everywhere too, because Jeeps ended up having a surge in sales. Now they're doing Jeeps are up on like movies and TV shows now, where they weren't one of the prevalent cars before. There's Jeeps in the parking lot when I walk outside. There's Jeeps on the road. I'm seeing Jeeps everywhere. I'm seeing Jeeps in places that Jeeps should not be. So it's a story. Yeah, it's a story. It's fun. And if you like, you'll probably only remember the story about the Jeep, but you won't remember the story necessarily of why we told the Jeep. And then you listen back and you're like, oh, yeah, that's why, because my brain is now actively aware of it, it's noticing it, and it was in my subconscious. So basically, anything that you want to do in your life, you want to do different ways to remember it. And remember, like listening to stories and hearing stories is one way, writing things down, talking about it, seeing it on a piece of paper, and then your brain starts to recognize those things. And so, if I'm looking for Mexican food, and I want the best Mexican food, I'm gonna like say, oh, I'm gonna talk about it. I'm gonna write it down potentially. I know Mexican food's not something you really write it down, but I'm using a story
You could write
again.
it down.
You could write it down. Like if you haven't had Mexican food, you write down all the kinds of Mexican food you want.
Right.
You'd search for it on maps, go search for it in Yelp, search for it on, AI and find out where the best Mexican food is, what they have. And then you would look for it. Now you're aware of it. And now I'm really hungry. And now here you go. You like notice Mexican food. So these are stories. Like stories are a long lost art. And think about all the generations that have been before us. And the way that they carry on their stories is we have traditions. So like if you made a favorite food. So, like, part of my background is I'm Slavic, and we make pierogies by scratch on Easter and on Christmas. And that's a tradition that's been carried down from generation to generation to generation to generation. But there's a story attached to it, right? And that's a way that people carry it on. And just if you guys have traditions too, right, that you carry on.
Like Easter, I'm Greek Orthodox, and every Easter and every Christmas we do something called a pita, where you hide a coin in the in a big dish with that's like phyllo and feta cheese and spinach, and the person that finds is lucky for the year. We have traditions like that. And then on my Italian side, we also have traditions as well. Like there's traditions on both sides in every aspect. So both sides of your family, whether it be your mom's side, your dad's side, or even further, you go deeper, your great grandparents' side, which actually gets lost in most people's families, right? Because their stories don't carry through.
And that's one way to carry on traditions or carry on the heritage is telling stories and repeating the stories and then carrying them on through generation. And the foods carry down too. They may get modified a little bit, but the food gets carried down. Now I'm getting hungry again. I tend to talk about food when I'm tired.
Oh, I know.
I'm out of the East Coast right now. I'm on the West Coast, but I'm still on East Coast time and still waking up on East Coast time. My body is not adjusting very well, and it's been a month. But I mean, it's great because I get up early and get to do a lot of things, but my brain is like, okay, what time zone are you on today? Yeah. And then watch when I go back there, then I'll end up waking up at 3 over there, even though it's, yeah. So, anyway, another story.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of
Yes.
stories about that.
Yeah. But the favorite thing is like going, if you're walking down the street or you're in an elevator or, you just ask people about something exciting, like what did they learn today or what industry are they in? Like you watch, what's your favorite passion? Like people's eyes light up when you ask them questions that they don't tell their story about anymore. Like
Right.
they have all these things that they're passionate about, and it inspires them and it gets them to bounce out of bed in the morning and gets them motivated, and they want to go, start their day because of this thing that they're so passionate about that nobody's heard the story about it yet. So go out and ask your grandparents or your great grandparents some of their stories. Carry on those traditions. Go ask your neighbor, what they remember when they were a kid, or when you're in an elevator, ask somebody what they learned today or what's exciting going on in their life. And you'll see that people will light up and be excited. And learning about other people is actually, it gives you a different perspective. It takes away, everyone's always overthinking and has anxiety and is stressed, and watch people light up. All of your stress will go away.
Yeah,
Stories are fun.
they
So
are.
I tell a lot of stories, but my goal is to teach. My goal is to inspire, hopefully, too, and motivate and to teach. And I have a very technical, analytical, logical background, which is very detailed oriented, and I would bore you all to death, which I sometimes do, right, Joseph?
Sometimes, not all the time, sometimes.
Right. So I try to lighten a little bit and make everybody understand. So it's better that if everybody kind of understands the concept versus three people out of a 2 million audience, right?
Right.
Yes, talking technical is going to validate what we're talking about, but telling a story will make you learn, it'll make you understand, and it'll help you see things differently and open your eyes to a different perspective. And hopefully from there you'll be able to tell your stories and, keep bringing the word out to whatever it is message that you're trying to give other people too, and
Right.
help them. So
Right.
we have quite a few stories.
Oh, yes, we do. Oh, it's some very exciting, some very interesting, some complex too,
Right.
that have lots of
But
layers
we
to it.
one thing we have written a book. So I'll say that right now so y'all can understand part of the storytelling. And the story is about how to invest and how to trade. And we tell stories in it, plus give technical analysis, plus give facts and logic. And so if you're right-brained, you'll be able to understand it. If you're left-brained, you'll be able to understand it. A lot of the stories tie into LA Talk. And then you'll be able to, if you listen to our episodes, and you'll be able to relate on the book. And that's going to be coming out on Amazon soon also. So we'll post that on our website. So techtrendinvestments.com. We'll post that on the website so you can find out more information about the book. We have trading courses that tell stories so you can learn. Like same thing that we teach on what the market does and how it's related to like a Coke bottle, or if y'all listen to some of our other stories about Coke bottles. And then what happens in the market, like what influences a market. A lot of people are strictly on TA. TA is technical analysis. And if you're looking at a static chart and you want to predict what's going to happen, like the next 1 minute, 5 minute, maybe 15 minutes or an hour, you can kind of look at it and gauge, but there's always unexpected things that make a can't talk, may make a chart move the opposite direction than the technical analysis broadcasting. And so the stories that we tell on why a chart would move in the opposite direction of what the chart is saying it's going to do in technical analysis is very important.
Right.
And those are the things that we talk about at the 30 of like what's going to move a chart in advance. And we usually say it 1 week, 2 weeks, 30 days to 3 months to almost even a year in advance on what would make a chart move.
Right.
And if you know this and you're not just trading technical analysis, but you're trading economic factors and emotion and psychology and wild cards, then you'll be able to anticipate what a chart does versus just trading that straight technical analysis. And listening to all the traders that are talking out there and the investors that are talking out there in the market right now, gold, oil, crypto, stocks, everything, have been doing the opposite of what their TA, which is technical analysis, has been predicting. And it's been doing it because of the stories that are being told, the emotion that's involved, and the wild card effect.
Right.
And then also people are knowing what's going to happen in the market and they're anticipating it 2 to 7 days in advance. And the chart will move based on news that they know is going to come out. So if you're trading a straight TA or technical analysis, you're going to get hurt more so because emotion still plays into the market. Psychology plays into it. Economics, data, information, meetings, Fed, announcements, all these things play into it, which can change a chart in seconds. And if you're just doing straight TA and you see that the line's moving up, and gold goes down instead, then your TA wasn't accurate, but the news that came out is what moved it.
Right.
And so that's why we talk about all these different things that move a market, and you have to look at the big picture, not just like the, you know, you have to look at the forest, not just the tree. Because if you're just focused on the tree, you're not going to see what else is going to sway that tree or cut the tree down.
Exactly.
And so when we predicted over a month ago, we said gold was going to go up and ETH was going to go up, and it did. It did within, like, I think during the show, maybe.
It did. It happened
24
during the show.
48 hours. And gold moved up like 400 points. That's a big movement in gold. Like, that's one of the biggest movements in gold. Gold usually moves in a small, tight range of, like, you know, 20 to 30, maybe, which is big. It moved 250 to 400 points in less than 7 days. So that's a big movement. And we talked about it, and everybody else was anticipating gold going down.
Right.
And they were shorting it. And we talked about gold, and gold went up. So when you're looking at investing and you're looking at trading, you want to look at the big picture and then take into consideration all the things that affect it, not just your TA. And so our books and our courses and the stories we tell on LA Talk Radio explain all of this stuff. Because people can do anything within milliseconds now because we have the power of the internet, the Wi-Fi, automatic trading. You don't need a broker to wait 24 to 48 hours for something to execute. Everything can happen within milliseconds, which can move a market right away. And one of the important stories, which I want you all to think about, which is a critical story, and it did move a market. So let me first tell you right now, let me tell you the story.
Okay.
So we have a story that moved the market, and it was, what day did it happen? It just happened. It was
It happened, the main event happened on the 27th and 28th.
Okay. So there's a young gentleman that has, trying to see if I'm going to name names or not. Okay. So the Fed was meeting last week. The Fed was due to meet last Wednesday. And we had told you all that we predicted that the Fed was going to keep the rates flat based on CPI, economic data, PPI, unemployment, and inflation with energy costs and without energy costs. And we know that energy cost is, you know, gas prices go up, oil prices go up, which in turn cause the price of goods and services to go up because they have to pass along the cost.
Right.
So we know, but we also had a pullback in CPI and we had an increase in unemployment. So we know that the Fed doesn't do things drastically unless they're trying to move the needle because they don't want to go to another extreme where we go into a huge hyperinflation or a huge recession, which we're right there in the middle. And so we anticipated, and we also predicted, you know, a week ago, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, a month ago, that the Fed was going to keep the rates flat. And we told you the reasons why. Well, somebody decided to announce that they said the Fed was going to increase rates when they weren't going to increase rates. And it caused a big sell-off in the market. And it affected somebody's portfolio. And if you do a Google search or an AI search, you'll be able to get names. I won't name names necessarily. But the gentleman was an up-and-coming portfolio manager, I'll put it that way, who has worked in OpenAI. He worked on FTX. He has his own fund. His fund had increased like a 4X in the last, I think, 12 to 24 months. And so he was pretty strong on his portfolio, which he was heavily invested in AI and infrastructure, data, energy. And somebody had said the Fed was going to raise the rates when they weren't. Well, when people think the Fed's going to raise the rates, they tend to sell off because that means that the cost of money goes up. It's harder to borrow. It's harder to expand. And it affects the economy. Well, we knew that they weren't going to raise the rates. We told you all they weren't going to raise the rates, that it was going to stay flat based on all the economic indicators, everything that's going on, and also what we predicted. Again, do your own research, not financial advice. But other people got skittish and sold off, and it dumped this gentleman's portfolio. What was it, 40%?
40%, yep.
40%, which they had to do an emergency sell their whole entire book to the person who caused the panic and had the sell-off. So if you search this all, you'll find out the story and what had happened. And I don't agree with what they did on how they did it. And how they trashed their portfolio so that they could get it at a discount.
Yeah,
and we had talked about it before. So we had talked about it before. Whenever somebody's trying to get a lower entry into a price on anything, they'll say things to cause the price to go down so that they can get in and buy it cheaper. And when they buy it cheaper, they make a huge appreciation. And so they made an announcement that caused the price to go down on their portfolio. They had to offload their portfolio because they were bleeding, basically. And in doing so, the one that made the announcement reaped all the benefits.
Yep.
Now, the market bounced back because guess what? The Fed did not raise rates, which we said was going to happen. We now have all-time highs in the S&P, right? We had an all-time high in the S&P.
Yep.
The NASDAQ, let me give you some of the stuff going on right now. The NASDAQ all-time high is 27,190.2. Today it was at 26,584. So it's pretty close to its all-time high right now. We just had all-time highs on it. The Dow's all-time high is 54,272. It's at 54,085 right now. Today was the close price. Okay. The S&P, all-time high, 77.58. It closed at 77.36. It's right near its all-time high. Apple is at 309.38. They're at their all-time high also.
Yep.
Their all-time high was 344.57.
Yeah.
Yep. So, but they've now surpassed like one of the highest market caps. I think they've surpassed NVIDIA on their highest market cap too.
I saw that.
So Apple's close to their all-time high now. I did have NVIDIA up too. Now, something to take into consideration, Apple, 28 years ago, was at 0.31 cents. So it's at 31 cents. It's now at 309. So when we always say to invest small amounts every year and long-term hold, your portfolio will increase. It's usually an average of 8 to 12% annually over a 30-year period. That's the reason why.
Right.
It was at 31 cents in 1998. Now, I looked at, I think NVIDIA was the same thing. It was 21 cents in 1998. And now it's the all-time high is 236, and the reason why we're looking at this is because a lot of people are getting nostalgic and they're going back to retro and they remember their childhood or growing up, and people that are in the finance markets are logical brains, but they need stories in their life.
Yes.
So people are going back to their nostalgia and they're going back to like when Pokemon launched and Pokemon Charizard cards are now worth like $1 million, and they're going back to their childhood. But you also look back at the price of stock. And so hypothetically, if your parents bought you NVIDIA stock or bought you Apple when you were born, you know, you could potentially be a millionaire right now.
You wouldn't know.
Right. Or if you were nostalgic and you invested in your retirement, and say somebody's going on retirement right now and they invested in Apple and NVIDIA and Microsoft, you know, 25 years ago, all this stuff went up like 1,000%. And yes, we cycle through, and yes, we have our ups and we have our downs, but over the long term, you know, over a 25, 30 year period, potentially, historically, you're always going to be up 8 to 12% year over year. And so this is an example of like stories and investing and being consistent and looking to the future and for long term. And for all of you parents out there having children right now, you know, buy 100 shares of some type of stock that's, you know, has a potential, or buy one stock every year for your child and invest in their future too while you're investing in your retirement. Because if all those parents bought stocks, you know, 25 years ago for their children, and they bought Microsoft and Apple and NVIDIA, all these stocks are up like 1,000% from that right moment. And a, you know, 25 cent stock back then was like amazing, right?
Yeah,
you could have bought 1,000 shares for 250 bucks,
right?
And you'd have like 100 grand right now, $1 million on just, you know, 100 shares. So,
right.
So when we talk about investing, it's to enlighten you all to get into investing, to try it out. We say invest with $10, try things out. If, you know, if stocks aren't your thing, try bonds. If bonds aren't your thing, try crypto. If crypto's not your thing, try real estate. You know, find something that you're interested in, that you're passionate about, that you love, and dabble in it and invest small, you know, $10 or $20 a day, hypothetically, instead of buying your Starbucks or your matcha or buying your pizza, you know, invest in a stock or invest in something else.
Right.
If you do that, you're, you know, most people will go and buy a coffee every single day, and a coffee is like $10 plus tip. So that's like $300 a month. If you invested $300 a month over 25 years and you got into stocks that were at 25 cents 26 years ago, you would not be worried about your portfolio right now.
You would be a multimillionaire if you bought all the right ones.
Right. So, and yes, we fluctuate. Like, yes, last year we had hit our bottom on April 8th, right? The stock market hit one of its bottoms. And everybody got scared and everybody sells off. And we talked about that on the episode, on that show, on that day. Most generational wealth makes the most money when everybody else is fearful and they enter. So they make the most generational wealth. If you bought instead of sold off on April 8th when we had talked about it and just invested $100, you would have had all-time highs in your portfolio right now.
Right.
And you would have bought at the bottom on April 8th. So yes, we tell stories. And yes, we explain things with analogies and colorful and blue Jeeps. But the goal is like to get you to go out there and try something. Go out there and do something. You know, do something that's going to change your life. Do something that's going to be passionate and inspire somebody else. do something to explain to other people something that they have no knowledge about and help them out, you know? And if you don't know how to explain them, tell them to listen to our stories on LA Talk. And that's why we love having our listeners, because the goal is like to spread the word and help other people and get that knowledge out there so that you all can, you know, try something exciting and new, figure it out, and then find what your passion is, what inspires you, what motivates you, because by doing so, maybe it's just Mexican food. Hey, I'm all for that. Find Same. The best Mexican food in the whole entire world and make that your mission to travel all over the world and find the best Mexican food, you know?
I'm or sure people have done it.
Right. I used to be on this mission with my friends. We were like, try and find the best clam chowder. And I found two places that have the best clam chowder. So,
see?
But I'm not going to give it away on this episode, but I will do it another one or I'll be hungry again. So let's talk about the markets a little bit now that we've told stories.
Yes.
First off, go ETH. Woo! Go ETH, go ETH, go ETH. Okay, so we're in a tight range right now, which is great. Again, we hit, let's see what day, 1565. The bottom was on June 28th. So on our show on June 30th, it was 1570, and I told you our targets. And ever since then, we've gone up. We're now at 1868. We hit 19. What did I say? 1968?
Yep.
We hit 1968. We're in a tight range right now. We're ranging from 1935 to 1820. That's a tight range of 100. A range is when it's like taps the bottom, goes back up, taps the top, goes back down, taps the bottom, goes back up. That's called a range. The range is only in a 100-point spread right now. And in 1 week, we're in 1820 to a 1935 range. In a month, we're in a 240 range. We haven't dipped below, though, since July 17th. So in the last 2 weeks, we've been in a really tight range of 100 points. That's really good.
That's really
good. So our month range is 1721 to 1963, but we haven't gone below the 1820 in over 2 weeks. So we're staying in that tight range. We have our targets. So it's the first of the month. This is always volume. We have our targets on the next 3 month cycle. It starts August 5th tomorrow. August 8th is usually when we take off. We anticipate, do your own research, not financial advice. We've had a sideways moving cycle. We've had a down cycle. And now we anticipate this will be the up cycle. So the up cycle means that when we break out of our targets that we gave you, one of the targets was 1905. We broke out of that. The next target was 1950. We broke out of that. And now we've tapped 1986. We're in a tight range of 100, which means it's going up and down, up and down, up and down. Usually when we're in a tight range, it's right before a breakout. A breakout means it has the upside potential. Do your own research, not financial advice. We're very optimistic. We're going into that three-month cycle. The numbers... do we still have those numbers that I gave that one show? I think it's in our Telegram.
Yep. I'll double check it. 1 second.
Okay. So we have the breakouts would be, I can actually just go look at the chart too and tell you. We will be above two. So our next range is like 2004, 2019, 2053, 2109, 2205, 2245, 2255. And I anticipate that we will hit all of these targets potentially in the next week or two.
Cannot find it in the TG, but I know I wrote it down while we were live.
Right.
We
had to organize them because when I was giving them, like all the different ones. So I'm trying to give them the breakouts above. Right now I'm at 2045, 2105, 2147, 2167,
2178.
Okay. And then I know we're going to go above 22, 22,
Yep.
45, 22, 55, 22, 95. I'm going off of memory. 23, I think it was 04,
I don't have that
23.
high.
This, yeah. So we anticipate it's actually going to do the breakout. Once it breaks through these different ones, it usually taps through, pushes through, has a pullback. Because some people are like, oh, why is it going up? I think I'm going to take profit, which is great. Y'all take profit. But then it like pulls back and goes, breaks through again. When it breaks through, it's on its next leg. Next leg means it hits its next target. So a way a chart works is when we know why the market's going to run, but nobody else in the world knows why it's running, right? So they're
Right.
like, ETH is running, take profit. I don't know why it's going up, but it's going up. Yay. Okay, so then they take some profit and then it has a pullback. A pullback means that some people sell, it drops a little bit because they sell, but then more people are like, this is a great entry, time to get in. Then they buy
Right.
and then it goes back up again because that's what happens on a chart. It
Yep.
goes back up and it pushes through the last number that it hit, that it hasn't hit in a while. Breaks through that and then it goes on to the next target. And when it hits the next target, then they like go, yay, time to profit take. Then they sell a little bit more. It pulls back again, bounces up, pushes through that next target onto the next one that we just called out. And
Right.
it hits that next one. Then they take some profit again because they're like, we don't know why, but ETH is just running. Why is it running? I don't know, but take some profit. And then it pulls back a little, bounces. Bounce means it like, taps it, bounces back up on the chart, goes up. Like if you take a rubber ball and you bounce it, that's what the chart's doing. It like hits that resistance, it bounces back up. The chart, the ball goes higher than the last time it went, and then it gets up there, and then people take a little bit of profit, and then the ball falls down, bounces, goes through the last one as a higher, like a higher height than it went last
Higher
time.
high, higher high, yeah.
So if you can see a visual, think of a rubber ball and you have the floor, right? The floor is our resistance. And actually the floor is our
The floor is the support.
Elizabeth is too tired. And then you bounce the ball and it goes through the target on the top, which is the
Yep, the
resistance.
resistance.
And it goes through at a higher height and it once it hits the ceiling of that target, people set their targets at that amount. They profit take. It has a pullback where the ball drops a little bit. It bounces now on the bed because it's at a higher height. Goes up through the ceiling on the second story. So it goes through on a chart so you can see a visual and a story. And then people profit take. And now it bounces onto the dresser, which is at even a higher height than the bed, right? That's the
Yep.
chart. So you can see a visual. You understand what a chart does. But it people will profit take. When they profit take means that they're like, we don't know why, but it's up high, so let's take some profit, which is great. You're all supposed to take some profit. You're not supposed to dump a chart, but you take a little bit of profit every time it hits your target.
Right.
So that's basically what ETH is doing, and it's been doing it in its tight range of 100 right now. We're going into that 3 month cycle where it anticipates going to go into a higher high. And it's going to break through. And when it breaks through that 1963,
1967.
okay, 1967, it's going to go on to the next leg up. So that's all going to happen potentially, do your own research, not financial advice, in the next couple of days. And one other thing I want to clarify is like everybody is talking about the Clarity Act, and we need the Clarity Act to go higher. We don't need the Clarity Act to go higher. The Clarity Act is already giving guidelines on reasons that we've already clarified, basically on what crypto is, and it's already been given an asset class on what it is. And
Right.
so, yes, it would be great that it would have a little bit more structure, but people have to understand that most companies are already following the rules on what's going to pass in anticipation because a lot of them have already been set. And so we can read what some of those guidelines already are. Let's see if I have that in my little file here. So the classifications, do your own research, not financial advice. Of course, these can change. You want to look at whatever country you're in, whatever the guidelines are. If you're in the States, the IRS guidelines. If you're, talk with your CPA, your financial accountant. But right now, the way that it's being classified and what they're anticipating doing it through the Clarity Act, just add support to the layers that already exist.
Right.
Is that they're digital, crypto's digital commodities. They're not securities. They fall under the CFTC authority. So the examples identified by the SEC and the CFTC include the crypto, which is BTC, ETH, XRP, SOL, et cetera. They're not considered securities unless they're packaged or sold as an investment contract. Again, talk with your CPA, your financial advisor, you know, clarify all this. And, you know, things can change, but that's the way it is right now.
Right.
So they're generally not securities. Stable coins was the Genius Act of last year. That was passed last year. And so banks and institutions and businesses have created stable coins, which is basically a one-to-one on the USD, where people are able to do payments through digital, you know, a digital stable coin.
Right.
And
right.
Has faster speed versus if you try to buy it through your credit card and then it goes through the bank and then it goes and clears, or you have to do a wire and you have to wait 24 hours. And if you don't do your wire before noon, it won't get the next day. Then you'll have to wait 48 hours. Where if you're using a stable coin or you're using a digital current, you know, these digital currencies, you can do it within milliseconds. If I went to go sell part of my ETH right now or buy ETH right now. So say I wanted to buy ETH right now, it would go into my account within milliseconds. If I needed to cash out like $5 to buy a matcha or $10 to buy a matcha, I could do it and I would have it right away.
Yep.
So that's the difference between like sending a wire the old school way or using stable coins. And so these are all helping crypto. And of course, the Clarity Act will support it even more, but it does not need to pass to make ETH strong or make crypto strong.
Right.
It's just helping the guidelines.
Exactly. So
remember, crypto has its run-ups and downs if governments are involved or not. Crypto runs up and hits all-time high if institutions are involved or not. You know, Ethereum, BTC, BNB fluctuate based on an open market, just like a yen or a peso or anything else does. It's based on supply and demand. And it's international. It's not dependent on the states. So if you're purchasing Ethereum, it's internationally bought and sold, and it's going to go based on supply and demand. But there's a lot of use cases for it where you can write contracts, you can do real-world assets attached to it, you can buy a hamburger with it if you wanted to, buy goods and services, travel, whatever you want to do, but it's instantaneously, which speeds up the process instead of using the old-school way, you're able to do it quicker and faster.
Right.
And it's right now it's clarified. Again, do your own research, not financial advice, but these are just some of the things. So always talk to your CPA and your financial advisor. Find out what works best for you. We are optimistic. Remember that the price of Apple was 25 cents in 1998. NVIDIA was 21 cents in 1998.
Oh my God.
And think about the price today. Remember, if you invest small amounts over a long period of time, you're going to get 8 to 12% in the stock market. If you're going to invest, you know, instead of buying that coffee or that matcha today and you invest $10 a day over the next 20 to 25 years, whatever your investment vehicle is, optimistically, you should be ahead of the game.
Right.
We are very optimistic on crypto. So if I'm investing $10 a day, even though it fluctuates, you dollar cost average.
Right.
You buy it at, you know, $1,800, you buy it at $2,400, you buy it at $4,000. But where will it be in 25 years? The price of ETH in 2011 was only, it was under a dollar.
Right.
And now it's at 1876. And that was only like 15 years ago.
Yep.
So the stocks were 25 cents 28 years ago. So again, Do your own research, not financial advice. We're optimistic.
Woo!
We plan on hitting all of our targets. We're here to tell stories and inspire you. So go out and find your passion. Do what you love. Invest a little a day. Learn as much as you can. And, you know, have fun.
Right. It's always about having fun. Explore, have fun, and do what you want and what you enjoy. That's all it is.
And then we will see you on the next episode
of
Tech Trend Investments. Bye, y'all.
Woo! Bye, everyone. Have a great rest of your week.
Oh, yeah. Woo!
You're listening to Tech Trend Investments with Lizabeth Powell and Joseph Grassa, only on LA Talk Radio.